If you had to create yourself again, what type of ingredients would you add to that bowl of who you are?
It's a deep question.
That's how we start here.
Yeah.
Obviously art, right?
Yeah, well.
Be creative?
I mean, from what there is now, I wouldn't change anything. If anything, adding, I don't know. It's because in this life, you have to be content with what you have. That's right. Like one of the...
You have to be grateful, no?
Grateful, yeah. It's something that you have to have. So I don't think I'd probably want anything else or anything less. I'm blessed with what I have, and that's all I know.
So this belief that you have, that you have to be grateful for what you currently have, where did you learn that?
Mexican culture. That's the only answer, really. Like, they teach you, like, just be humble. Ser humilde. Es todo lo que te enseñan en la casa. Because they always tell you stories of, like, people trying to be too much in the sense of they try to get too much of life. And they just end up getting swallowed by the machine, by mm-hmm. society as a whole. So mm-hmm. that's where it comes from. Like, you have to be grateful with what you have. Don't be too greedy with everything that you want, and just be calm. Like, have everything that you do have, be grateful for it, because at the end of the day, that's what you have.
What area from Mexico did you grow up in?
I was actually born here, in not in Huatzaco, but in Harlingen. Like, right off when I was like young, they would take me to Guanajuato, the specific mm-hmm. city, a little city hidden around there, Acámbaro, and like that's where I would spend most of my summers, my Christmases. And It was a special time, only because that city is like so small, and like mm-hmm. everyone there, especially like, and again, I'll go back to Mexican culture a lot, because I really carry that in my veins, mm-hmm. en las raíces de donde vengo. But everyone knows themselves over there. Everyone knows each other. So like at the end of the day, like growing up in that environment, like everyone knowing each other, it's like, yeah, you could be like desmadroso y todo, but eventually like someone's gonna like know and everything, like like some tías or something, or like just la prima de la prima de la amiga, right, is gonna know. So it was fun, like growing up there, experiencing it over there. Nice memories.
What about your name? How do you pronounce it?
Carol.
Is that uniquely like given to you, or does your family have a lot of unique names like that? Mm-hmm. And what does it mean?
I mean, the whole name process from my mother, at least, is she's very religious. And my name is actually proviene del Papa Carol. The Papa Carol, que es Juan Pablo II.
Right.
And that was his, the popes get a pope name. Mm-hmm. So he chose Juan Pablo, but his name before that was Carol. Mm-hmm. And around the time when I was being born, my mom kept on hearing like, he was like heavily sick. And they would say, Papa Juan Pablo, Papa mm-hmm. Carol. They would change between that. And she was between Juan Pablo or Carol, mm-hmm. and she ended up going with Carol. But like the rest of my siblings also have very religious names, Jesus, Maria, Rocio. So they all have like very religious tied names, and that was the whole process behind that. And the meaning behind it, I got interested in the meaning only because there's this very huge superstar called Carol G. And yeah, and I was like, what's the meaning behind it? What's the meaning behind it?
Yeah.
And it's actually from Polish roots, and it means of man. Or a man. So I thought that was interesting.
And I was going to ask you, you grew up both in the Valley and in Mexico. How did that form your perspective of not only the way you do art, but how you see the world? Because not everybody has this unique perspective of both. You know, you're touching Mexican soil, and then you're also touching American soil.
Yeah. So that was actually interesting, because even though I grew up in Mexico and then I grew up in the Valley still has a lot of similarities because we're super close to Mexico. So in the food, even in las tradiciones, a lot of Valley traditions also stem from Mexican traditions. But especially like actually experiencing Mexico makes me, I don't know, the Valley has this unique blend. And I'm grateful to be here. I always call this home, only because the people here also have like that very trademark of being like close to home, the people around respecting them. So it's been interesting for me to grow up in Mexico. All my family, I'm actually the first generation of like, I'm the first Mexican-American generation of the whole family. Mm-hmm. So having that like weight on my shoulders, it's a weight, but at the same time, it's a pride, because I mean, going back, talking to my cousins over there in Mexico, I remember I would be resentful, because I would be like, oh, like I carry like Mexican pride, like it's in my blood and everything, but I can't really call myself Mexican, only because well, I wasn't born there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, talking to like my primo Brandon, he would be like, nah, cabrón, like, es chingón que eres allá porque que tantos aquí allá.
Yeah.
So, but there's so much more opportunity over there. You should be proud.
And when you say over there, did you mean like here?
Yeah, here, acá, en el otro lado, como se conoce coloquialmente allá.
Yeah.
It was badass. And barely now am I like getting that pride of like being Mexican-American. Because I guess I always carry like some sort of resent for mm-hmm. like being American only because of like all the
negative
propaganda. Well, not propaganda, it's actually a reality. I live here in America. I see the injustices that happen, especially with Mexican people, immigrants in general. And it's just disillusionment. But I mean, at the end of the day, they also provide a lot of opportunities. I wouldn't be where I am right now if it weren't for the opportunities that this land has given me. So there has to be some sense of pride for being American mm-hmm. too. But
tell us about like Taco Bell, like what
that affect
you? That's going on, like, you know, something that's, you know, the uplifting and empowering. What was that whole thing about Taco Bell?
So that's one of the things.
Well, like, before we get to that, I do want to ask, you did mention that you're first generation American.
Yeah.
Are you also the first person in your family to go to college, to go to the university?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, big time.
What does that feel like?
Treacherous waters. Like, being first generation, you're so lost. Like, again, I went to Idea Toros, and it was like this soccer school that like mixed in a high-end curriculum of like academics, but at the same time, I was being treated like as a pro athlete because for a while, for my upbringing, I'm Mexican. I play a lot of soccer, so.
You mean football?
Yeah, football. So it's weird. Like, this country has shaped me to like say different things, but yeah, I'll change it up when I'm in Mexico. I'll be like football. Pero.
No, I say soccer when I go there.
Really? Just to piss them off or what?
With them.
Yeah.
So you're currently in UTRGV, right?
Yeah, I'm currently
UTRGV. And you're studying art.
No, I'm actually studying communications right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's my intended major, communications. Only because I had this talk with one of the professors there, and he knew that I liked art, and I had showed him some of my pieces. And like, I've always liked to talk to older people. They seem to have more wise sense within them.
How old are you?
I'm 19.
Okay.
I'm currently 19, but they seem to have like more a sense of being wise.
More experience.
So, more experience, definitely more experience. But talking to him, I had shown him some of my pieces because, I mean, I love art. I love to talk about it. And I had shown him some of my pieces and he was like, you know what? Like, what are you thinking about majoring in? And first I was thinking about majoring in art only because like, I really want to like learn different things and everything. But seeing my art and everything, he's like, you already have the skill. Like everything that I've learned through art, I've done it myself. He's like, if you've been self-taught, you have this skill, it's better for you to like, focus on something that's gonna be able to market your skill, market your art, mm-hmm. market every creative adventure that you wanna follow through instead of like going to college to pursue art. It's gonna be less effective for you. Like, focus on something that you're gonna be able to get connections. Cause at the end of the day, and that specific professor, Mr. Chavez, he was telling me like, at the end of the day, this world is tied with a lot of connections. If you don't know the right people, you're never gonna be able to get the right opportunities. And yes, opportunities will come, but then there's a lot of luck. Mm-hmm. So,
well, speaking of connections, the way that I found out about you was through Yvette, and she basically told me that you would sell your art pieces, correct?
Yeah.
So tell me about that. Like, when did you first like start painting and then started like selling it?
Yeah.
And what was that process like? Like, did you have a hard time saying like, my art is valuable, or did people come up to you and say, hey, do you want to sell me this art? Or tell me how it went.
Nah, that was an interesting little story because I actually started doing art during the pandemic. So I was a freshman being a sophomore in high school. And well, being in the pandemic, you had a lot of time, but not with anybody else, but with yourself. So you had to be inside up here just talking to yourself daily. And like I said, I wanted to be a pro soccer player. Like I had an uncle that he would train me day in, day out. And like talking to myself, I was like, is this really what I want to do? Is this really my dream? you get to a point where like you're very small, like you're prone to get shaped by the people around you. That's gonna happen, but there's a lot of negativity from the pandemic, but I found that was a positive for me because I was able to find art. And then finding art and everything, I started creating and just painting like baby steps. With the little Christmas gift that I got that year, like $60, I was able to go to Walmart and I bought like a whole bunch of acrylics because I heard that oils were expensive and I don't come from like a rich family. So I was like, I'm just gonna get acrylics. They dry faster, they're bigger so I could get more use of them. And well, that's how I started first, like just acrylics, just trying to paint like things that I knew. And
when you say things that you knew, what was that?
Things within my psyche, not things that like within art, like there's like this very universal thought that art is like, oh, just pretty things and everything, but not to me. Within the psyche, you could find things of yourself that could speak volumes to people mm-hmm. around you. And especially like here, like I wanted to speak to that. So there was I remember when I first started, I couldn't even like, campuses are expensive. So yeah. I remember walking around, I skated a lot. And then I remember I was skating through like this this part of town over here in Weslaco. And there was like this abandoned house and like had the garage open. And there was like this roll. And I thought, oh, did I just hit the jackpot? Like, is that canvas? Like yeah. Finding canvas roll is, and it would have been insane. But I got there and it turned out to be like this like construction, like
paper.
Like construction paper. It was like tile. So like, and that's a funny story because, well, first I got the tile, I took it back home, and then like I started like doing little cuts to like, because I had like this, like a scheme that I wanted to hit. And it was basically like making original little pieces. And although those original little pieces, like they were like a little bit like rushed and everything, only because like I wanted to like mass produce a little bit. And I ended up making them. And then my little scheme was gonna be to go to the eatery. And there I would just like walk up to random people and be like, hey, I'm this artist from Weslaco and I'm trying to sell this art piece. Like, would you? Mm-hmm. And then I would show them like a little array of like probably 7 pieces. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I did that, like my legs were shaking so hard. Like I've always been good with like talking to people. I tend not to stutter.
Right.
But
right.
Like during like the first few sentences, I didn't stutter that much. But then like after a little bit, I started like, this piece.
Yeah, yeah.
So like it was looking back at that.
So wait. So you went to this eatery and people were like eating, right?
Yeah.
They were and then you eating. Went up to them and you said what?
Yeah, like, oh, hello. Like I'm this artist here from Weslaco. I'm trying to sell these pieces, get art talking here in Weslaco. And then I would start like a mini conversation with them, only like hook them so they could like engage with me. Like a lot of people would just bat me. They'd be like, oh, like, I'm sorry, like we're eating or something. And I'd be like, oh no, I understand. So I would just leave. But there would be some people that would actually be interested in it. And
but how many times did you do that?
I would do that like
per day.
Oh no, I would do that like once a week probably, but per
or like
day
every
that
time
I was
you,
there.
Every time you show
every
up.
Time I was there, I would do it like for like 20, 25 times, like being there. I would wait it out. And I remember like there would be days where like you do it. And people are just like not interested. And that would be like a huge blow to my psyche. So I would have to like go and like skate for a little bit, try to forget about it. And like eventually come back like an hour or 2 hours later and like go at it again. But
and did you change the way you said it? You were like getting a bunch of no's. And then you were like, maybe if I say it a certain way, did you start like changing the way you would present yourself? And when was the time that you're like it's catching on? Like I'm getting more people to buy. Did you say a certain way or what was the difference maker?
I think one of like the big difference makers was when my mom came over here to the US, it was only her. My dad stayed over there and I held a little bit of like connection to him. And like from the stories that I would hear from my mom, he was also like a vendor, a merchant. So he had a way with people too. And so I remember this one time where it was going like horrible. Like I was getting nothing. I remember like, I don't know, just a fleeting thought of him came into mind. And I was like, maybe he has some advice. And he gave me probably one of the most valuable advices that I probably, got that whole time that I was doing that. And it was, I called him and he was like, oh, qué onda, qué cuentas, cómo está la familia, todo. Y le dije, no, pues andamos bien y todo, pero ahorita estoy como tratando de vender algunas piezas, pero pues no me está yendo tan bien. Y pues te quería preguntar como, ¿qué dices o qué, cómo le haces? And he was like, pues la número uno cosa que tendrías que hacer es quedarte en mente que de 10 personas que puedes ir a lo mejor 9 te van a decir que no, pero con tan solo una que te diga que sí, de ahí le vas y le vas y le vas. Con solamente que te agarre una persona que te compre, ya de ahí vas a tener un poquito más de ganas para continuarle. And then from there, I was like, oh, no, pues muchas gracias, jefe, y todo. Y pues ahí nos mantenemos en contacto. And yeah, after that call, the first person I went and like tried like a new little way of talking to them, I sold a piece, and I was like,
nice. Mm.
Okay.
And can you talk about the pieces that you brought?
Oh, so, I mean, now it's way different now. Like, I've been able to, like, upgrade and everything, but still keeping, like, a sense of resourcefulness. Like, I was talking to a vet earlier, and that piece is actually
Can you reach it?
Yeah.
So that way we can have a little look.
So, like, this piece is actually from, like, an old closet of mine. Like, I had an old closet, and, like, it was already, like, breaking down and everything. And I was just trying to like get salvageable pieces from it. And
is this that actually, a self portrait? Like,
yeah, a self portrait. If you know what the Sagrado Corazon is,
Sacred Heart.
You know that Sacred Heart, you know that it's a very, it's a religious symbol, but at the same time, it's very tied in with, for me, Mexican culture. So I wanted to include that. And the reason there's two hearts is because there's a point where I was very interested in, I think it's like numerology. And, I had done it only because like some friend had told me about it, and it turned out like my life path number was 22, and from there like I really got interested in it, and I wanted to like symbolize that a little bit with the two swords.
So were you like taking a picture of yourself and then you painted it, or was it from memory, or were you looking in the mirror?
I was looking at a mirror. Yeah, nice. I was trying to look at a mirror and like try to copy it as best as I can. So.
You made a video for Taco Bell.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me about what that was about? Was it a competition or what was it?
Yeah, so that actually came about because, again, going to college and everything, at my school, they used to push us to do, like, scholarships, find scholarships and, like, attempt them. But, like, that was a soccer school. No one was interested in, like, doing anything.
Other than soccer.
Like, and there's no, like... As much as you want to, like, do a video exhibiting, like, your passion for soccer and everything, at the end of the day, it still has to contribute back to society, because that's what, like, the Taco Bell committee was looking for. And art is always going to have something to contribute to society. It's one of the most important things in the human experience. So it came about with this very nice, loving counselor that I really appreciate, is Mara Castillo. She helped me through that whole college process, and she actually brought it up, like, oh, like, you're, like, one of my creative students, like, you should probably look into it. And I think, just look into it, and maybe if you want to do it, just, you know, I'll be here for any help. So the way I came about doing that specific video was, like, getting, like, my friends and, like, making, like, this makshift film team.
But what was the rules, or what was the competition, or the prize, or what was that?
The whole, like, confinement to the rules were, it was, like, a nationwide competition, and there's going to be, like, a certain number of winners per state. So it could, the whole theme of the competition was describe your passion and how it impacts society, and, like, why you want to pursue it. So then...
I love it. It's amazing. That was a phenomenal thing that you did. That's like an inspiring video for all to see.
Yeah, but it wasn't just me. Like I said, Ms. Castillo, when she offered the help through the actual words that I was saying through the video, she actually helped me like revise and edit the actual words that I was saying through the video. Her and another friend. So my brother was a huge part of that. He helped me. He was my cameraman the whole way. So, like, big ups to my brother. Yeah. And
what's his name?
Jesus.
Jesus, shout out to Jesus. El mijo.
El mijo. But yeah, mijo. But yeah. But.
And then did you win or what was that?
Yeah. So I remember the way I found out was, I remember I was like up late at night. And coincidentally, there's like
most artists are, right?
Yeah, yeah, just being there with your mind. But I was up late at night, and like I was watching like this. I was watching like this movie, and then like there was an ad in YouTube, and like there was this ad that came on about Taco Bell, and it was like Pete Davidson or something, and like he was talking about like the Taco Bell Crunchwrap, and then like out of nowhere there comes this like email that says Taco Bell recipient and everything, and I was like, what?
Like you received an email?
Yeah, like I received an email from Taco Bell, and they're like, you are a Taco Bell recipient for the 2022-2023 scholarship. And I was like,
damn.
It was like 2 a.m. Like, I was just like, what? Like, I'm probably seeing things.
So that happened at the same time as you were seeing this ad?
Yeah, oh, Taco Bell.
Damn.
Yeah, coincidentally. And then I opened it, and then I was like, what the? So then, like, the first thing I did was, like, it was 2 in the morning, but the first thing I did was, like, go to my grandpa and be like, and, like, I woke him up and everything. I was like, not too, like, brash or anything, but I just shook him a bit, and I was like, gane, and he was like, he wasn't even like answering. He was just like, oh.
How did you feel? Yeah.
It was a nice, exhilarating feeling, like being able to get it and everything, especially because it's like a nationwide thing. Like,
yeah, that's big.
No one thinks like some. I remember I was talking to my brother about it. It's like, what are the chances that some like Valley kid is gonna get that thing, like get the scholarship? What are the chances, really? But
high.
I mean, high now.
Chances now.
Yeah, but yeah, it was 5,000.
Wow.
Yeah, and nice. That helped me like helped me big time getting like some of my college books, my laptop, wow. Some headphones. So that came in really, especially now because college is very like technology centered and expensive. Like we don't have to mention that. We already know that. But that came in clutch to get a computer, especially now since it's all like technology based.
Right.
I submit a lot of my work through
that's
there.
That's a major accomplishment. So. You should be very proud of
yourself.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It just makes you want to go get some tacos from Canada. Yeah.
And then what did your parents say? Or what was that? Like after you woke up the next day and you told everybody?
Yeah, no. I remember my mom was really like, she gave me a big hug, like always. And she was like, yeah, like I'm very proud of you, mijo, and everything. So like, it wasn't like too big of a deal. I didn't want to make it too big of a deal either. But I was like, yeah, like, it's nice. It's going to come in very handy for, like, especially college.
And how did you meet Yvette? Like, how did that happen? Like, right now you're in her store. Like, how did you encounter her?
I met Yvette, like, 4 years ago, approximately.
4 years ago.
And it was because my mom used to come to the store. And I don't even know how my mom found it. It's very close to where I currently live, like super close.
But you guys just skate in front of the store.
Yeah, well, I would just skate around. Like in front of it, but like not really. Hey, what's good?
Isaiah.
Yeah.
Isaiah.
Like I would just skate in front of it, like not too.
I told her to come skate inside and not outside.
Something like that.
And then were you like, who's this lady?
Yeah, no, she's been.
When they came to the back, they were hooked.
Yeah. Once I get to the back, with the music thing.
Ricardo used to come when he was younger, before he started selling his art. He used to come and get like canvases and paintings and like paint over him, frames. And he would take like stuff from the back, you know. And I'm like, yeah, whatever you want, you know. Yeah. And like, I mean, that's why I'm saying like, this is, he's like, for real, like, he's inspiring to me. Because he comes to the shop, you know, and he walks back there in the back, in the factory.
Yeah.
And he's just, the kids are like, their eyes are lit up, you know, like Christmas. And yeah.
What is this? What does this store, this place mean to you? This, I would call it, like she said, a factory. Because there's so many things happening here. Yeah. Like Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory.
Yeah, like there's this. It's like, honestly, when I first got into the shop, it was like a big culture, like, revolution. Because there's like a lot of course there's going to be some Mexican-themed things like this. This is actually from this store. Mm-hmm. But then there's actual, like, other different, like, things that mix in, like, so, they mix in so brash. Like, they're not even supposed to mix, but Yvette has this way to, like, make them fix. So I remember, like, being in this store and everything. It's always been, like, a source of inspiration too, again, because she always likes to inspire and like hold artists here. So I was able to actually meet some artists here, like Mr. Potwin, Mr. Conquista. So I was able to meet them through Yvette too. So she has always been like a source of like opportunity too.
Nice.
Yeah.
And are you still selling art?
Yeah, well, currently the deal has changed a bit.
Your price has now tripled.
Yeah, my prices are now...
I won a competition that's national.
Yeah, like, I guess that brings some prestige, but apart from that, I always, like, price my values based on the skill that I feel I have. And also based on the name, but mainly for the skill. If I don't feel like I gave something to that piece that wasn't a part of me, then I'm not gonna, like, price it, like, super high. There's no point in me in doing that. That's not me.
Right.
So, yeah, that price is doubled, tripled, but only because I feel like the skill has just gone up.
Can you talk about that one right there? What is that? Is that like a revolutionary Mexican person? I feel like I've seen that somewhere.
Yeah, that's actually Emiliano Zapata.
Yeah, I kind of recognize the outline a bit.
Yeah, and the reason why I wanted to do that is the title of that piece is Emiliano Zapata, Guíame. And the whole meaning behind the piece is because my actual logo is in front of him. Like, it's like this outline in front of it, and then it's actual Zapata looking at you with blank eyes.
Yeah. And what about the one that's on the floor?
And the one on the floor is like one of my more experimental works. And this piece took me a while, only because this is a part of my deterioration.
Deterioration?
Deterioration.
Is that an eye in the middle?
Yeah. So this is an eye, but within the actual canvas, there's like, if you feel it, it's actually stitched up together.
Wow.
Because I wanted to, like, there was symbolism between art and how you're able to heal. Mm-hmm. Heal with it. And stitches always come with that.
Like, and when you go to the doctor and they stitch you up.
When you're at a doctor, you stitch you up. And sometimes you even feel like heartbroken, and you feel like your heart being like torn apart, literally. So you wish at that time, whenever like that heart is aching so bad, that there were some stitches that someone could go in there and like just mend it up and make you feel better. So this was like through a time where like things just weren't going my way, my family's way. And it was always a way to cope, because this piece took a long time. Mm-hmm. Because of the actual stitching. Canvas is rough, so like the actual needle will sometimes get stuck. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I pinned my hands with the needle.
Wow.
But
has your actual blood in it?
It has my actual blood in it. So yeah, I'm telling you, if there's no meaning in it,
it's great.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you, since you're one to be, you know, your life is in the valley. There's obviously the saying "Puro 956."
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Well, it used to mean a lot of like ignorance, I guess, like ignorance for a while, only because again. I guess I didn't feel like prided from being from the valley for a pretty long time. Only because, I don't know, you see places outside, like New York City, California, LA, Austin. You wish you were from those cities. And then you look around and you're like, oh, well, like the valley, like what does it have to offer? Like there really ain't like nothing too much about it. And then thanks to the soccer program I was in, I was able to go to like different places. I was able to go to Florida, Austin, Dallas. And then you get to those cities, you experience it a little bit, and you see that you start to appreciate where you're from. Because at the end of the day, you really start to see that where you are from, where you were made, that's actually your home. You'll always call that home. Mm-hmm. So after I was able to like experience that, come back to the valley, then I had a new meaning for Puro 956, and it was like pride of being from the valley. And what it means to me, it's especially being from here, it's like a culture of being Mexican-American. And not so long ago, I was talking with my girl there at UTRGV. We were having lunch, and we're like, wait, is like UTRGV like one of the like highest rated like schools with like Mexican-Americans? Like, I wonder. And then we're looking into it, and yeah, like it is. So that brings pride to me that like Mexican Americans are starting to like focus more on education, focus more on like, and with education, focusing more on education, the whole eye of the valley in terms of education is gonna change. Mm-hmm. And eventually with education, there's this imminent connection with art that's gonna come in. So with more and more people here obtaining college degrees and having more focus in education, there's this there's going to be this like turning point for the Valley in terms of art. There's going to be a little bit more focus on it, only because I felt like the art for a long time has been blinded towards art. It's always put it aside. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really hold a spot here in the Valley. Not until recently that there's been like figures, prominent figures that are like starting to come up, like Conquista. He's an interesting case for me. He's a pretty cool artist. I've talked to him sometimes here and there, but it's people like him. Mm-hmm. Like I'm never gonna throw shade at like artists from here from the Valley unless they want to go at it. I have no problem with that. But like I like to empower the artists around here, my fellow creatives, because it's important. I was talking to Yvette, telling her that yeah, I could be the only one doing art, but what is that gonna matter if like the art talk isn't around?
Right.
Like we need more art talk. We need more art talk in order for it to be more
community.
Yeah, community. That's a very important aspect, especially because, come on, we have like Mexican roots within us, and Mexican culture has this very tight-knit community.
Yeah. So it's like family.
Yeah, family. La familia.
So you're talking about art talk. Why do you think art is important not only to have in conversations, but for people who might not do this for a living? Why is it important to practice art?
I think it's important to practice art. But more than that, I think it's important to see the stories behind art. Because, and seeing the stories behind art will make you want to make some art for yourself. But the first thing you have to do is actually like look at art and think about it. And believe it or not, that's a hard thing to do, because some artists be like putting a banana just on a gallery space and thinking, oh, that's like fine art, that's fine art. Well, they'll make you think like that is fine art, but, and they'll make you like try to break your head thinking like there's a deeper meaning behind that. But then that's just pure nonsense to me, pure nonsense. There's nothing to tell from that, but actually going into your roots, finding artists that actually had something to say, something about contemporary times, that's always gonna be important to me. Because looking back, especially at history, you'll be able to find stories that are interesting and that will make you change your perspective, grow as a person. And it will make you wanna be not only a better person, but then try to make stories of your own to pass down. And then through art, you're able to convey that story a little bit more. And then that's when people want to make art. So a lot of artists, at least all of the artists that I feel have interesting art, they have a story to tell alongside it.
Nice.
So it's interesting that I get to have this opportunity with you, with Yvette, being able to like showcase a little bit of my story, because I'm just grateful. It's I think it's an interesting stepping stone for me, and like being able to tell it, it's important, especially because I'm Mexican American and like I haven't heard like a big buzz for him. So if I'm able to like, I'm not saying like I'm gonna be like the biggest of them all, but as long as I'm able to contribute to
why
it,
why not?
The sense of humble, siendo humilde.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I just want to have my family fed. I'm happy with that. I'm forever grateful if I have that. But anything else that comes with it is only el de arriba. Que me lo va a dar.
I love that.
Y mi madrecita, la Virgen María.
I didn't ask you, what position did you play for soccer?
I played nine, striker. And then that was my main position. Sometimes the coaches would want to like dabble me, play me in the wing or play me as a 10. But I always liked playing nine, center forward.
There's a really great player who's also very humble, and people call him like the best of all time. And you kind of remind me of him because you're very humble.
Because he's so handsome.
You're very humble and you're very talented. This gentleman, maybe you've heard of him, Messi.
And,
well, he's cool.
He never calls himself the greatest of all time. He's like...
I just watched the Beckman documentary.
Yeah.
Oh, Beckham.
Good
Beckham.
One. I mean, like, he went through so much obstacles.
Yeah.
And hey, Mexican Beckham right here.
Mexican Beckham. Never know. Nah, actually, coming
that
from
that... such a... Like, it was inspiring to me because... Yeah. Like, we don't know how hard it is. You know, when you're in the limelight, it comes with a lot of stuff.
And he was dating a Spice Girl, too. So
yeah.
More buzz. Yeah.
But the thing was that even though he was so great and awesome, he makes one mistake and, like, all of a sudden he's to blame and he's the fault.
Yeah, but England then, was...
You know, it's like, hey, it didn't matter when he was on the court, when he was on the grass or whatever, he did what he had to do.
Yeah.
You know?
And there was actually this interesting part, and I saw a snippet of it, or I saw like this reel about it.
Yeah.
And there was a part where like his wife,
yeah,
Victoria Beckham, I think, she was saying like, oh no, we actually came from like a very like humble family, like very humble. And then like Beckham, like he like he like put
his head outside.
Yeah, put his head outside, and he was like, tell me what car your father drove
whenever you were taking us to school.
And he was like, and she was like, no, well, like it. Like, she was trying to, like, beat around the bush.
Yeah, he was trying to say, look, like, you're worthy.
Yeah.
You're something.
You came from something.
Yeah.
Like, if you came from something, so just be acceptive of it. Like, they, I don't know, people tend to, like, glamorize. I know why. It's apparent why people glamorize, like, come-up stories. People that come from nothing to something. We get why, but at the same time, like, people that already had something, they tend to glamorize it and then try to, like, fix it or like move things around in their life to like make them seem like they went through something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just a cutout. Like, come on now. Like,
yeah.
If you're a silver spoon, just like, it gets people that actually came from nothing to something mad when like
because
people that
they
are
worked for it.
Yeah,
because
they worked
for it.
It.
And then like everyone thinks, oh, it was given to you. No.
Yeah, and it gets people like that were actually working towards getting it. Like, I'll be more acceptive of like someone that was silver spoon to be like, yeah, I came from like a wealthy family. I came from a family that had like opportunities and everything. Then people that are like actually wealthy and then they try to like deny it or something. Mm-hmm. They don't have like a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But
yeah. Well, she did say hardworking family. So
I mean,
she wasn't
lying. Yeah, I know. They're hardworking, but they already had it. So
yeah.
If you have it already, it's way easier for you to get opportunities.
Yeah. Is there anything that I haven't asked that you'd like to share? Or anything that's on your mind or anything on your chest that you just want to get out?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
So I see myself in 5 years, probably in Austin or Dallas. Because even though this is home to me, there's opportunities in other.
Yeah, it's always good to get out.
Yeah, it's always good to get out.
So you can come back with
no different
fresher
cultures.
Things.
Hell yeah. So, like, I would want to probably be in Austin in, like, around 5 years, try to get some, like, connections over there, get experience within, like, the whole community over there, grow it a little bit, try to probably have a show over there, and, like, from there, get those connections, and then, like, with more up-and-coming artists here from the Valley, I would try to, like, but this is probably, like, in 10, 20 years, I would probably try to, like, open up my own, like, art gallery. I have an art gallery over here that, like, focuses more on, like, low-income
the roots.
Artists. Yeah, porque en el barrio casi no recibes nada de oportunidades.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of, like, spray paint, you know, graffiti artists.
Well, yeah, there's that, but no one's getting monetized for that.
Yeah,
they could be the greatest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, probably that. Maybe, like, mix it with, like, some, like, art lessons and everything. Mixing a little bit of, again, art history, because it's important to know the history. But then with some actual art and everything. And I have nothing against graffiti. I did some graffiti for a while. But I guess if you're really trying to make it as an artist, you're going to try to focus more on the traditional route. Because that's where... Ahí donde está la lana. So,
that's
yeah.
The route.
Yeah.
The, you know, something that's marketable and worthy than just something that you just... Oh, I did this because nobody was looking.
Yeah.
If you had to tell someone who's not from this area... And they ask you, hey, where are you from? Like, what do you say?
So I'd probably say we are very close to the border between Reynosa. We're at the border near Reynosa, all the way down deep south Texas.
The tip.
The tip of Texas. Yeah, but down there. So, yeah.
Down south.
Down south.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything, like I mentioned, that I forgot to ask that you want to, that's anything on your mind? Any shout outs?
Shout out to my boy Zay. For being here. Yeah, a little bit late, but it's always good for them to be here. My brother. So, all my brothers, yeah. But my boy Brandon, yeah. He's working at that field right now. That boy's getting his dough, but hope he's doing well.
You should paint his hat.
Yeah.
So then when he goes, they're going to be like, whoa, where'd you get that hat? Can
yeah.
I get my hat? How much? How much?
That would be interesting, actually. Profit. But
we have a question from the audience.
What's the question from the audience? Pick up.
First, I love that piece.
She loves that piece. Which one?
The stitches.
The stitches.
And I feel like so many people can relate to what you said about it and to the way that you felt when you were making it. I feel like some people might be interested because even I'm interested. How much is that piece?
How much is that piece? Can you pick it up so we could see it?
It looks like many different faces. Though
you said that you want to price something based on what you put in. And I saw your smile, like your smirk when I asked how much was it.
Yeah.
Don't be humble about that because you have what the fuck it takes.
Mm.
If I'm asking how much something is, it's because it's worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't feel like, oh, maybe my price might be a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
You set your price. And the people who see the worth in it are gonna be like, yeah, that's what it's worth.
Yeah, that's word. Yeah. Well, this piece, I have it at 300 right now. Yeah. Only because it has a lot of meaning to me,
well,
but
most
also
of your
the
pieces, Carol, are not cheap.
Not
and
now.
I wanna know why, yeah. Because they're all sold. I wanna know why they're all sold and they're not cheap because you're good. But when I got on and I looked on your website, I went through all your paintings and I was like, I want this one, I want this one.
Yeah, well, it's because I'm actually trying to, right now these pieces, or this one's already released, but this one with the new frame and that one isn't released yet. I'm working on getting a collection built up because I'm trying to have a show December. I'm trying to have a group exhibition with a couple more artists here in West Loco in order for me to have like a part in this community and like embrace the people here. Like I don't know a lot of like West Loco creatives. I know a couple, so I'm trying to like give them a platform, me included, for like us to showcase work.
That would be great to have an art show here. I would love to be your sponsor for that.
Oh, hell yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
What's your website?
So my website is actually CarlRodriguezVision.com.
CarlRodriguezVision.com.
Yeah. So there I have like pieces that I would be, it just has the prices because if you actually want to buy a piece from me, you have to come talk to me. So
you have to get to know, like that's the same thing with me. I won't sell no vintage to nobody. I only sell it to people that I know.
Word.
That are going to love it and cherish it and be, you know, for the common good.
Yeah. So yeah. I only do that only because you could do whatever you want with the piece after you have it. It has meaning for me, but if you're willing to spend money on it, that means you're willing to like
good intentions.
Put it good intentions with it. But it's only important to me because I like to have a conversation with the people that buy pieces, especially
and
like super expensive
you've
pieces.
What's the most you've made on a painting?
Yeah, what's the most you've made?
The most I made on a painting so far is 200. Yeah, and it was this. It was one of the pieces of Marginación.
Well. I think that one is very unique. I think you should bump up the price.
Yes.
I feel like 300 is very cheap.
I worry.
It should be at least 1,000. I that's the number I was thinking when she asked that question.
Mm.
Thanks for the question, Shorty.
Thank you.
Thanks for the bump price, Shorty.
No, for real.
Everything must go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would like to thank you, Carol, for coming and sharing a little bit of your story. You're welcome to come back again. Once you've made more paintings and you'd like to share with us. Is there anything that I missed? One more time?
Probably last thing is I want to send a huge thanks to the Marquez family and fucking best friend, Alexis Marquez. He's overseas right now. He's in England with Beckham. Yeah, he's in England playing soccer for the University of Gloucestershire. He's currently playing, has a goal and like some assists. I've tried to keep as much contact as I can with him. But him being over there in England and being like 7 hours.
Yeah, like when he's awake, you're asleep.
Yeah, when I'm awake, I'm asleep. So we have to find like little weird times to conversate and everything. But I just want to send like huge motivation because he's a huge inspiration to me. Huge inspiration to me. And he's a badass. He's a badass blueprint to people here. To people not only there at the school, but to people in general, to me. Mm. Only because he's discovering new grounds in England, like and
what
especially
does he do?
For soccer. He's playing soccer right now.
Okay.
So like he's discovering new grounds. He's playing over there, and like, I just wish him the complete best. His family has always treated me with huge amounts of respect. I feel like I have very close ties with them there. Son gente buena. Como mi mamá siempre dice, son gente buena.
And what was his name?
So, Alexis Marquez.
Alexis Marquez.
So, don't be surprised if you hear that, like, later in, like... Scoring goals in England.
Nice. Yeah. By the way, have you ever thought about designing, like, a soccer jersey?
Yeah. I was actually talking about that with my girlfriend. Because it would be insane to me. I know there's been collaborations with designers, like Yoji Yamamoto with Real Madrid. They had this very, like cool...
The dragon one.
And maybe, like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with a club as big as Real Madrid. Love Real Madrid. A la Madrid. Yeah, a la Madrid.
That's where Beckham played.
Yeah, Los Galacticos. But as much as I would probably want to do a design
awesome.
For them.
You should design the Mexican jersey.
Yeah, I would love to do the Mexican jersey. And then I would also do the Pumas.
Nice. They have a nice logo. It's very simple but classic.
Yeah. So I would love to do them only because as a little kid, I would also go to their games and everything. And I'm also a Pumas fan.
Nice. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming by. Yeah. And, you know, we hope to see more of your progress along these years. And
yeah.
Best of luck.
No, thank you. And thank you again for this space, this time. Well, thank you.